Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Probably all of us are familiar with the Great Commandment and the Great Commission verses that are found in the Bible, but could it be that these two great doctrinal truths and commandments are not two separate things, but are in reality one and the same? The first time the Great Commandment appears in its fullness is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, which reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." But what's interesting is that the Great Commandment doesn't just stop there with these words, which admonishes us to just love God. No, it goes on to say in the next few verses why we are to keep the Great Commandment, how we are to do it, and to whom our first focus should be on our responsibility in passing on the Great Commandment to others. Listen to the next few verses found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and how they are all connected together, not as two separate commandments, but as one great commandment that is also the Great Commission. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Did you hear it? Why are we to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all that is within us in every area of our life, and for what purpose? It's very clear from this passage that yes, we as God's people are to love God first and foremost, and nothing is to surpass our love for God or to compare to our love for God. That is who we are. That is why we exist and why God has made us, to love Him and to bring glory to Him. But never is my relationship with the Lord supposed to be all about me. It's not just about my vertical relationship with God and God alone. Yes, God wants me to have a connected and strong relationship with Him, loving Him with all that I am and all that is within me and all that I do and say. But why? For what purpose? So that I would be able to pass on my faith and my love for God to others. God wants me to know Him, love Him, obey Him, and serve Him with all that is within me for all the days of my life, but not just for me and my relationship with Him, but so that through my faith in Him and love for God, others would come to know, love, obey, and serve God too. You and I are not here to live for ourselves. We are here to live for others and to bring them also into a right, connected, and strong relationship with God, loving God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, the purpose of the Great Commandment is the fuel that leads to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But what's also interesting in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that the first people group that we are to focus our time and attention on in teaching the Great Commandment to love, obey, and serve God is not on the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Ammonites, or any other strangers and foreigners in the land, but on our own children. What that means to me as a mother, as a teacher of children, and as a full-time missionary is that I'm not just here to live for me and my relationship with God or to fulfill my dreams and my plans for my life. I'm here first and foremost as a mother to pass on my faith and love for the Lord to my own children and to all the future generations that God brings across my life. In fact, if you were to step back and look at the whole book of Deuteronomy in context from cover to cover, it's all about how to live a life of faith pleasing to the Lord that will result in God's blessing and how each generation is to pass on to their children the faith and love for the Lord so that they too would live a life of faith and be under the umbrella of God's protection and blessing and for all the future generations yet to come. But anyone who knows anything about the history of the Old Testament and the children of Israel knows that that didn't always happen. In fact, in just two books over in the book of Judges, we read some of the saddest words found in the Bible. In Judges chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." What is amazing to me is that this happened in the history of Israel not over a long period of time of thousands of years, but in less than three or four generations at the most. You had the generation that came out of Egypt and saw all the mighty miracles of God with the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, and all the amazing provisions of God in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. That's generation one. Then you had the next generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, who were the only ones from the first generation who entered into the promised land. And then that next generation came in conquering the city of Jericho and the people and the surrounding land that was all part of God's plan and giving to Israel the promised land for them to dwell in. That's the second generation. Then we have all the elders who outlived Joshua, who are then gathered unto their fathers. But all their days, the Bible specifically says that the elders after Joshua and all the people served the Lord. That's generation three. Then here comes this next generation in the book of Judges that says they knew not the Lord or the works that God had done for Israel. They forsook God and followed not the Lord, doing evil in his sight. That's at the very most four generations from the time of the Exodus until the time of almost a complete turning away and falling away of a generation forsaking the Lord. But the question to me is, how in the world did this happen? I believe that the scripture is very clear. When you put Deuteronomy chapter 6 up against Judges 2 together, you can see. It's because someone, somewhere down the line, failed to keep the great commandment that is also the starting place of the Great Commission, which is to pass on their faith and love for the Lord to the next generation, including to their own children. Think about it. If this could happen to Israel, when Israel knew absolutely the true and living God and were given and entrusted with the very word of God, the oracles of God, and they also knew how to live and be in a right relationship to God, how much more could this happen to any people, anywhere, in any country or land on the face of this earth? It not only can happen, but it also already has happened. It's called a generation gap, and that generation gap in our world today is only growing. For example, look what has happened to Great Britain and to Europe. Europe was the birthplace of the Protestant Reformation and where the foremost theologians came from, like Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli. The Empire of Great Britain was not only at one time the place where the sun never sets, but was also the great missionary sending arm of the Christian Church in the 18th and 19th century, known as the Great Century of Missions. God raised up missionaries and sent them out to impact the whole world for Christ with the gospel message, and most of them during this time came from Great Britain, like William Carey, Hudson Taylor, David Livingston, Amy Carmichael, Mary Slessor, the Cambridge clan. They all came from the same area, from the same lands. But where is Great Britain and Europe today? Less than 5% of people in Great Britain today attend church on a regular basis, less than 5%. That also consider themselves to be committed Christians. If you were to visit some of these great churches in England, you would find that many of them are closed and have become something else, like a library or a secular store. But for those who do attend the church, there are only very few in number who are coming. Europe is now known as a post-Christian land, a place where the gospel was once known and preached and proclaimed, but today it's unknown by this current generation and even rejected by this generation and scoffed at. But the saddest part for us here in America, our beloved country, is that we are not far behind them. Every decade, the generation gap is only widening between those who call themselves committed Christians and those who do not. With every new generation, there is less a percentage of people who say that they are committed to Christ and following Christ. Just look at our land, for example, geographically. Some of the most well-Christianized places in America, like, for example, the northeastern part that was where the Puritans took root, and then later that same area was where the breaking forth of the great revivals took place through the preaching of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, are today some of the most secularized sections in our country today. At one time, also, our most prestigious universities in our land were not liberal, secular, reject-the-Bible think tanks as they are today, but were places where we sent our future ministers to be trained to preach and proclaim God's word at one time. The list of our changing non-Christian nation and non-Christian culture is growing, and the evidence is all around us. But where do we begin to push back the tide and help bring our nation back to God once again? We begin where the Bible says to begin, with the great commandment that is also the first great commission that teaches us to begin with our children. Josh McDowell, the prominent Christian apologist, said, "It used to be if we didn't reach young people in college or high school, it was too late. But now if we don't reach children when they're children at 5, 6, 7, or 8 years of age, we are in danger of losing an entire generation for Christ." And that actually is what's been happening since the 1960s. We've been losing one generation after another. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the former pastor of Moody Bible Church, also said this: "To win the children to Jesus is to win the future and to give the children and us the only hope for the future." Think about it. Every land, every country is only one generation away from being a completely pagan land. And also every church, no matter how big or how small, is only one generation away from closing its doors. We need to win this generation of children to Christ and bring them hope for their future and hope also for our land again. But how? By focusing our lives on loving our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and obeying the Great Commandment, which is also the starting place of the Great Commission. Even though the book of Judges starts out on a very low note, with a generation not knowing and forsaking God, we need to remember that God has always a remnant of faithful believers throughout every time period in history. God is continually at work behind the scenes, both in His people and through His people, in revealing His plan of redemption and making known His salvation to the future generations. When we first began the CEF radio program of Telling Future Generations, we started out our first few times together walking through the very large chapter of Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is loaded with verses that talk about the importance of telling the future generations, the children, so that the future generations and those even yet to be born would come and set their hope in God. My favorite verse in Psalm 78 is verse 6 and 7 that says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It's not God's will that even one generation would grow up not knowing God, loving God, or keeping God's commandments. But that can only happen if we, the current generation who have trusted in Christ and have set our hope in Christ as our Lord and Savior, keep God's first and greatest command, which also is a starting block for the Great Commission, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to teach our children to know and love God too, passing on our faith to the future generations. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, that the generation to come might also come to know, love, obey, and serve God too, setting all their hope and love in Him and for the future generations.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me again.